Today, June 9 in the year 68, the Emperor Nero Claudius Caesar Augustus Germanicus died at the age of 30 by assisted suicide, or he is better known by many of us, Emperor Nero. Now, he was supposed to be sentenced to die by flogging, and yet he tried to prevent it and instead wanted a death by assisted suicide. Now, he was the last of the Julio-Claudian dynasty. In fact, we know him as the early persecutor of the Christians. And his rule is often associated with tyranny and extravagance. And he was known for executing people he perceived as enemies. And in fact, it included his very own mother. And this is a man who is paranoid. He has some unreasonable feeling. He fears for the people around him, and even causing the death of his own mother. And this kind of attitude ended his rule in tragedy. And these relationships that he should have cherished was forsaken and jeopardized because of the kind of character, perhaps the mind, who cannot trust people even within his own family. But this should not mark any believer or Christianity for that matter. And we will look into a book that will challenge such relational, social barriers and issues that perhaps that affects even our very situation in our present generation. And by this, I mean that we will be studying a book perhaps unknown to, or perhaps you could not have studied quite closely for yourself, but this is what others or commentators call a jewel in the Bible. So let me now invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Philemon. This is a book of 25 verses, but we will read the first 7 verses, the introduction and prayer part. But for our consideration, we will be considering verses 1 to 3 this afternoon. Philemon, verses 1 to 7. Paul, a prisoner for Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved fellow worker, and Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church in your house, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. For I have derived much joy and comfort from your love, my brother, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Now, the story of this book is about Philemon. The book of Philemon is about reconciliation and relationships between Christians. And Onesimus, which means useful, was a slave of this man named Philemon in Colossae. And apparently Onesimus had stolen from Philemon and fled the city. And at some point, he might have met Paul, and Paul, through his ministry, was able to hear the word of God, and he was converted in the process. He became a Christian. And so Paul now appeals to Philemon to accept Onesimus back into his household, because this once slave, a runaway slave, becoming a Christian, was now to be accepted by Philemon, not as a slave, but as a brother. And that is why Paul writes to appeal to Philemon to accept Onesimus back to his household, but as a brother in the Lord rather than a slave. And In Paul's estimation, Onesimus was far more useful now than he was as a former slave. And Paul even promised to pay for the debt that Onesimus could have acquired in the process. That's why he fled away. Now, this book is the shortest of Paul's writings. And as I've said earlier, it is a jewel in the Bible. It does not mention Jesus Christ and his resurrection because he will be demonstrating it in his action. To the writing of Paul, he will be demonstrating it in actual action as we move on in the study of this word. And this was perhaps written at the same time with the Colossians because of the similar personalities as well as the location involved. And if this is not highly doctrinal and theological, but immensely practical. And of course, it is of extreme value to the church. That is why it is part of the canon of scriptures. And in the introduction we read, this should not be ignored. Though shortest of all the letters, Paul is extremely personal. He is not combative. He is not forceful as in any other letters he wrote, especially in the book of Galatians, where he was refuting or fighting for the sake of the gospel. And now for Paul, he deviates now from his usual self. Parang maayos ang mood ni Paul in writing this letter. He was not his usual self as we know him in many of his letters. And this 7 verses will now lay the ground for his appeal to Philemon, forgiveness and acceptance of a runaway slave. And this greeting, just before his prayer, as his manner is, will provide for us a wonderful picture of God's work in the lives of the personalities involved mentioned in the greetings. They were of diverse social status, of gender, even of abilities and capacities, but they are now brought under one unifying identity. They are now God's people, and therefore they are now in the community which we call God's church. And this will be my message this afternoon. The gospel is the single unifying power that draws or brings sinners into God's chosen community, which we call the church. The gospel is the single unifying power that draws or brings sinners into His chosen community, the church. Ang ebanghelyo ang tanging makapangyarihan na nagbubuklod ng mga makasalanan sa tinatawag na komunidad ng Diyos, ang kanyang iglesia. Now, we all know that salvation of sinners is brought forth by gospel proclamation. Gospel is proclaimed and it is used by God to convert sinners, to bring them to salvation in Christ. And salvation is personal, but it ushers individuals into a community called the church. Ang pagliligtas ng ating Panginoon ay nagdadala ng mga hinirang sa isang tinatawag nating komunidad. Ito ay hindi pangkaraniwan sa ating kapanahunan. Ito lamang ang tinatawag nating ang iglesia ng ating Panginoon. Now, as I mentioned a while ago, after mentioning the various personalities on the greetings portion, Paul closes with a final greeting of grace and peace. This is what we read in verse 3. Grace and peace, they are not meaningless words in these greetings of Paul. In fact, they are foundational truth that would form the basis of Paul's appeal. These words define for us the gospel in its pure sense that would affect and even guide communal living and relationships in the household of God. And these are the two truths that we will be expounding in our message. First, grounded on grace. And secondly, evidence in peace or resulting in peace. First, let's look at grounded on grace, nakatungtong sa biyaya o nakasandal sa biyaya ng ating Diyos. Now, we seldom notice the significance of names or even personalities indicated in Paul's letters. Usually, what occupies our attention is the name whom Paul is addressing in the letter. And of course, he is addressing here to Philemon specifically. But here, we have several names indicated. If you observe, clearly, several names have been listed here by Paul. Of course, first and foremost is the name of Paul. Now, many of us know Paul, he was a rigorous Jew. He was the persecutor of the early church until he was changed by God in his journey to Damascus. Another name we see here is Timothy. Of course, he is not a co-author of this letter, but he was a companion, a protege of Paul. And Timothy is a co-laborer assistant. He is of a Gentile father, and a Jewish mother. And of course, the prominent name here will be Philemon. And Philemon is a Gentile master. He is a slave owner, and he is quite rich. And in fact, influential in the church. It is in his house, apparently, that the house church meets to gather to worship. And another name mentioned are Apphia and Archippus. And perhaps they are members of the household of Philemon. Apphia, as many suggest, is probably his wife. And as a wife, during their time, she is perhaps in charge of the slaves in the household, for she manages the household of the family. And Archippus, perhaps the son of Philemon, also happens to be a leader of the church. In fact, Paul mentions him as a fellow worker. Now, the list of names reveal an amazing fact. They come from diverse conditions and locations, social status, in fact, background, but are now being brought together under a common unifying identity, which I've said is God's people. Now they are now a member of God's community of believers. So this tells us that grace is God reaching out to sinners or people with his free and sovereign favor. It is because of the grace of God. Ito po ay dahil sa biyaya ng Panginoon. Kaya itong mga pangalang itong ating binanggit ay magkakasama. In fact, they are called, Paul calls them a sister, a brother, and fellow workers. So these people from various places, from diverse social conditions or status are now brought into God's family. Sila ang tinaguriang komunidad ng ating Panginoon. B.B. Warfield says, grace is free, sovereign favor to the ill-deserving. This is what the late Princeton professor tells us. It reminds us that as sinners, we do not deserve any least favor. We are ill-deserving, undeserving. Hindi po tayo karapat-dapat biyayaan ng Diyos. And Michael Horton adds, in grace, God gives nothing less than himself. Grace then is not a third thing or substance mediating between God and sinners, but it is Jesus Christ in redeeming action. Ang Diyos ang nagbibigay ng kanyang sarili para sa katubusan, para sa kaligtasan ng mga makasalanan na hindi karapat-dapat. Ito po yung tinatawag nating biyaya na nagmumula sa Diyos para sa hindi karapat-dapat. And grace is fundamentally a word about God. It is His uncoerced initiative and pervasive, extravagant demonstrations of His care and favor. This is what we read in Ephesians 1, verses 6 and 7. To the praise of His glorious grace, which He has blessed us in the Beloved, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. And concerning our standing before God, Paul adds in Romans 5 verse 2, through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace, which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And what marvelous, wonderful truth this is for us as sinners. In fact, grace defines our Christian identity. This is what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there will be no divisions among you, but that you will be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul appeals to the unity of the brethren, not by anything else, because you have been united by God through the grace and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what every one of us, if you call yourself a believer, kung inaangkin mo ang sarili mo na isang Kristiyano, isang mananampalataya, isang tinawag ng Diyos, ito po ang iyong pagpapala. Ikaw ay nasa ilalim ng kabutihan, biyaya ng Diyos para sa isang makasalanan. And what wonderful privileges and truth this is. And that is why Paul repeats or grounds his appeal by this very truth that he mentions. Grace is most needed and best understood in the midst of sin, suffering, and brokenness. This is where we understand the grace of God in its fuller sense. We live in a world of earning, deserving, and merit, and this results in judgment. Sa mga taong patuloy na nagpupursige, ginagawa nila ang kanilang kabutihan, mga mabubuting gawa para sila angkinin ng Diyos, para ariing ganap o mabuti sa harapan ng Diyos, ito po ay walang kabuluhan. That is what people are doing in our time. That is why everyone need grace. For judgment kills, only grace makes alive. Napaka magandang katotohanan. Napaka maliwanag na turo ni Pablo para sa mga makasalanan katulad natin. Palaging binabanggit ng ating presidente, surrender or die. Ito'y panawagan niya sa mga drug lords, panawagan niya sa mga rebelde, dahil kanyang pupuksain ang sino man na lalaban sa gobyerno na pinapangunahan niya kung hindi po sila magpapasakop sa otoridad ng ating gobyerno. But grace calls undeserving people. It reaches out to us who deserves the wrath and judgment of God. It is not because we surrender ourselves, but because God in His mercy and grace plucks us out from that path towards hell by His own grace and mercy, by His own gracious will, by His own sovereign choice, because He has elected us in eternity past, and in the fullness of time, He will bring His own, His elect, to His fold in saving grace through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this should challenge us as recipients of God's grace. We should be gracious in extending grace upon others, because we have been recipients of the magnificent, the abounding grace of God. We should be all the more be gracious in extending grace upon to others. Paul is specifically reminding Philemon, you have experienced grace through Jesus Christ. You are now expected to show grace to a slave. Now, a brother who has even wronged him. This is what Paul is reminding Philemon. Paul is saying, before men and God, you are what you are by the grace of God. Whatever good and pleasant that has come upon the life of Philemon and even his family is because of the goodness and the graciousness of God. It is not because Philemon deserves. It is not because Philemon merits God's favor. It is only because God, in His grace, extended His arm, His hand of reconciliation by His own sovereign will. And this should be a wonderful reminder to all of us, people whom we call Christians, believers, for how easy it is for Him and even for us to lose sight of this glaring reality and fact. Napakadali po natin makalimot kung paano tayo nakatanggap ng biyaya. Ganun na lamang natin nakakalimutan sa ating pakikitungo, sa ating kapwa. Madalas nakakalimutan po natin. Hindi na natin naiisip na mag-extend o magdugtungan ang biyaya na pinagkulob sa atin sa pamamagitan ng ating pakikitungo sa ating kapwa. And perhaps Paul hints here, because of grace received from Jesus Christ, Paul is perhaps telling Philemon, you should now be willing to be gracious to a slave who has now been converted through Paul's ministry. A slave, now a brother in Christ. And of course, a reminder to our dealings with each and every one of us. But also, Philemon is also being reminded that perhaps, how can you boast or lift yourself up? The power to gain wealth comes from the Lord. This is what we read in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. The Proverbs of Solomon, Proverbs 10 verse 22 tells us, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and He adds no sorrow with it. Unfortunately, as many become successful, they forget how they got where they are. And sad to say, even Christians fall into the same condition, into the same situation. Yes, perhaps you will argue, I work hard for it. I labored faithfully. In fact, I even gave my best effort. And do you know that I am even perhaps the most disciplined person, the most disciplined Christian you ever knew? And that is good, I say. But it is the Lord that gave you the brain so that you may think with. It He gives you the strength of body to work, health to function properly, and even skills to create possibilities. It is not ultimately because of your own doing. It is because of the Lord. Because, dear Christian, it is your duty and responsibility to actually labor. It is actually your duty to be more responsible. In fact, that is what we have been studying in our Sunday school. It is a command for us to pursue diligence, our duty as Christians in various places. We are also told that this is out of God's covenant faithfulness, not because you deserve it. He blesses and prospers out of His covenant faithfulness. This is what we read in the second part of Deuteronomy 8:18. For it is He who gives power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is today. It is because God has covenanted with His people that He promises to prosper the labors of His children, the labors of His people, in various ways, in various occasions, in various possibilities. One pioneering American philanthropist named Andrew Carnegie once set the standard for giving back. We all know that these billionaires really have these foundations so that they may give it back to charity or through philanthropic work. He said, no man can become rich without himself enriching others. And then he proceeds by saying that the man who dies rich dies disgraced. Well, we are enriched people by the grace of God, because it is God Himself, the owner of this magnificent and wonderful world and universe, who has extended upon us His grace and mercy. We may not be rich financially, but we are being made rich because of the mercies of our great God. And this should remind us that it is all because we are grounded on the grace of God. Yet, and secondly, evidence in peace, or you might say result in peace. Napapatunayan o nakikita sa kapayapaan. Grace is the means of salvation, and peace is the result. The linking of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ as joint source of grace and peace in verse 3 would be blasphemous if Jesus were a mere man or an angel. The phrase is to be understood as an affirmation of the deity of Christ. It means His equality with God. He is lifted. He is being lifted up. His name is lifted up because of His saving work. Because He is now brought in glory because of what He has accomplished as planned by the Father for the sake of God's elect. And Christ purchased peace for us. We were justified before God through Jesus' work, the atoning sacrifice on that lonely cross when Christ died, bringing or nailing our sins on that cross that He bore. So we learn that peace with God is the result of God reconciling sinners to Himself by Jesus' atoning sacrifice. Sa pamamagitan lang ng kamatayan ng ating Panginoon, kaya tayo nagkakaroon ng kapayapaan sa ating Diyos. Human beings were to live at peace with God. That was God's original intention. But sin destroyed that peace and still destroys it for anyone who refuses Jesus' offer of salvation. Romans 10:9-10 tells us, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Now this reminds us, or this ought to remind you, if you are in attendance in this gathering this afternoon, and you are still without the Lord Jesus Christ, you are in your condemned state. You are without hope. You are heading towards the path of destruction, to that an eternity without the presence of the great and merciful God. And that is why the gospel, time and again, the word of God, time and again, appeals that you have to come in repentance and faith in Christ, for without it, you are without hope. You are lost. For sinners are at war with God. You are in rebellion to the God of the Bible. And that is why God, time and again, has brought you here, appealing once again to you to consider Christ. You are commanded to come under the mercies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 verse 20 tells us that, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all the things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross. For without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sins. Kung wala po ang kamatayan ng ating Panginoong Jesus, wala pong katubusan para sa mga makasalanan katulad natin. Ito ang gawa ng Panginoong Jesus para maging kahalili, para tubusin ang mga makasalanan katulad natin. And again, Paul in Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have lots of these statements from Paul telling us of the of Christ's work, dying for the elect, dying for the sins of undeserving sinners. And here Paul tells us that in our legal standing, we have been made right. Peace with God means it is your legal standing before God. Wala ka na sa puot, sa ilalim ng puot ng ating Panginoon Diyos. In other words, pinawalang sala ka na. Hindi dahil sa iyong kabutihan, hindi ayon sa iyong kagustuhan, kundi ayon sa mayamang biyaya ng ating Panginoong Jesus. But there is also what we call the peace of God. This is the subjective. Peace with God is the objective reality. It is the justification because of the justice of God. But we also have the peace of God, the subjective reality. Romans 15:13 tells us, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. This is Paul's first benediction in his Roman letter. And it's here he talks about the personal peace of heart and mind God gives to his people as beneficiaries of his grace. And believers now, if you are a believer, if you have been reconciled to God in Christ, you now have an assurance. A life hidden in Christ because you have been justified. Napakagandang paalala at katotohanan para sa isang mananampalataya. Now, many of us are familiar with the term or principle called amnesty. This applies not only to political realm, but even in terms of finances, pagkakautang, mayroong mga amnestia sa mga loans and so on and so forth, amnesty for political prisoners. But of course, you just don't get this amnesty, but you have to apply for it. There is a procedure you have to undertake in order to qualify and to be approved. Siguro, doon nagkulang yung ating isang dating senador, kaya muling binabalik yung kanyang rebellion case. But be that as it may, for you as a believer, our salvation is not because of our merit, but it is the work of another. It is not because we qualify. That's why we can be granted that amnesty. We qualify because somebody had done it for us, and that is now we are worthy. Not because of anything that we deserve or we have done. Hindi naman tayo nag-apply, siguro, marahil, but because it has been granted to us by the graciousness of our God. Pinagkaloob po sa atin. And what a great favor again. What a great privilege, because it is Jesus Christ Himself who makes our salvation certain, because He Himself was the one punished for our behalf. So the challenge for us is, as peace has been granted to you and to me, let it translate into working out to be at peace with all men. Christians must make it. Hindi po nangyayari ang kapayapaan basta-basta na lang. Tayo mga mananampalataya ay dapat po nating pursigihin ito. Christians must make it. Hebrews 12:14 tells us, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Now, in Hebrews, after the writer discusses or tells us what we have because of Christ, the Hebrews now is warning the hearers or the listeners, giving warning and encouragement. And the stress is not just to persevere in faith, and to obtain what God has promised, but God's plan is for us to share in His holiness. Therefore, we should be holy in the present time. We have to pursue holiness because we have been reconciled to the mercies of God. And therefore, we have to live God-honoring lives as God's people. And this involves striving to be at peace with others. We have to strive to be at peace with everyone. How are we known in our community? How are we known in our offices? Are we the source of peace? Or are we the instigator of unruly behaviors or perhaps difficulties or troubles in our various workplaces, in our homes perhaps, or even among our friends? This should not be the testimony of a believer. We should not be provoking others. We should not be complaining people. We should be the one upholding or pursuing peace at all costs. In another passage, Paul challenges Christians to live a life of peace. And we find this in Romans 12, verses 18 and 19. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now take note that Paul here begins with the words or the phrases, if possible, and so far as it depends on you. Now Paul recognizes two potential difficulties that we may experience. And first is, perhaps this will be because of the behavior of people that may hinder peace. May mga pag-uugali siguro yung ating mga kaibigan, mga kasamahan, na talagang mapipika ka o maaasar ka at talagang masisira ang inyong pagnanais na magkaroon ng kapayapaan. But secondly, there may be issues at stake that will make peace impossible. This might be the situations that you will be brought into. And even for a Christian, we should not compromise certain principles and beliefs and truth that we hold. Truth should not be compromised. Purity should not be compromised. Injustice should not be compromised. And we have to contend for that. We have to fight for that. Because even our fathers in the faith have worked for this truth and principles for the sake of the gospel. We should not be bartering these principles for the sake of peace. Christians, yes, I've told you, fought for this. For apart from those issues, we should endeavor to make peace. Kung hindi naman, ganito ka mahalaga na mga simulain at katotohanan, dapat manatili ang kapayapaan sa ating mga relasyon, sa ating mga pakikitungo sa ibang tao. Unless otherwise, when right thinking would mean armed conflict when necessary. But another thing that Paul mentions here is about revenge. It does not say avenge yourself under the following three or four circumstances or perhaps during extreme conditions. Wala pong kondisyon nakalagay sa sinulat ni Pablo. We are told not to avenge ourselves. Revenge is mine, says the Lord. We are not to avenge ourselves, never, because fighting back is not Christian. But perhaps you might question or insist, karapatan ko ito eh. Hindi ba tama na ipaglaban ko ang karapatan ko? If you would like to fight for the right, you better fight for the right of somebody else. Because it should not be because of our own self or personal interest or ambition, but it should better be for the interest of others that we should fight for. And this is what people have been fighting for. They fought for the rights of other people at the expense of their own right because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps many of us are not quite familiar with our country in Africa called Rwanda. Now, in 1994, in the months of April to July, around 100 days, this is where, as a result of genocide, 800,000 people died during this year as a result of the fightings of the Tutsis and the Hutus. Ito po yung mga tribo. Kung hindi tayo familiar sa mga pangalang ito, ito yung mga tribo sa lugar na yon. The Hutu or the Hutus were the one in power, and they persecuted the Tutsis. The Tutsi, kasi pag marami Tutsis. And this act of atrocities, killing, was in fact, according to account, was tolerated by the Catholic and Protestant churches during their time. And it was tolerated by religion. And one Christian observer once wrote, 90% of Rwanda's people confess Christ. And in fact, missionaries preach the gospel of having a right relationship with God, but not necessarily a right relationship with one another. That is why we can be 90% Christians and yet kill in the name of ethnicity. And this is the sad reality of what happened in this country. Right relationship based on love and forgiveness should be the case. Others think that what is important is what we believe. But it is clear that it also needs to change how we treat people. And this should be our Christian goal, our Christian motive. We should be known to promote the right relationships. We should be known to promote peace with not only within the community of believers, but even among other people. Because through the gospel, through the reconciliation that we have, we are called upon to be peacemakers, to be bearers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world that continues to rebel against the existence, the reality of God's power and authority over His creation. And may it not be our case. May this not be what we will be known for individually as Christians and even as a community of believers. And this is a continuing struggle. This is a continuing reality of our present generations. As God's people, we ought to be reminded that because of the grace of God, God has made peace with us, and therefore, we ought to be the bearers of peace for the sake of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our last hymn, My Faith Looks Up to Thee, says in verse 2, May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire as thou hast died for me. O may my love to thee pure, warm, and chainless be, a living fire. Because of the grace of God, may we truly be grateful, thankful, and may we respond in manners that God desires for us to be the source of light and the salt in this decaying world that we live. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we do thank you for this wonderful reminder that once again you have given to us. Indeed, our God, our faith looks up to what Christ had done for us, because we have been redeemed not because of whom we are worthy. We are not worthy of the least of the very favors that you bestow upon us. The most precious of them is our salvation. Lord, it was grounded on your grace, and because of that grace, we have been given peace with you because of what Christ did on the cross. And Lord, we have not been redeemed not without any reason. We have been redeemed because we are made to live a life that would bring glory to you and that would be a faithful witness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive us, O God, for at times we forget this truth, these realities. We fail to extend grace to the brethren, to our fellow believers, and even to others. And Lord, help us to be wise. Help us to be reminded of this. And because of the peace we have through Christ's death on the cross, there is now no condemnation for a sinner who has been drawn to you through Christ. And may you minister to that soul who is still without Christ in our midst. May you convict him or her of his or her need for the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. Be merciful to that soul, O God. We plead unto you, work in him or her so that he may come in repentance and faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may you make us a church wherein the love and peace and the grace of God will truly be seen, not only by among us, but even to this world that looks into your church from the outside. And may we truly evidence what Christ had done on the cross, saving us unworthy sinners. We thank you for this truth. We thank you for these principles that we have learned. Help us to apply this in our lives, in our relationships, as your people. For this we pray in Christ's most precious name. Amen.